Reading to you from the 18th chapter of John, and with the 20th verse, Jesus answered him, I have spoken openly to the world. I always taught in synagogues and in the temple where all the Jews came together, and I spoke nothing in secret. Why do you question me? Question those who have heard what I spoke to them. Behold, these know what I said. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic. Gave my heart to Christ over 51 years ago. Do you know that's a long time, 51 years? Woo! Well, you know, I was 30 when I was saved, so that makes me 81. And I'm kind of glad that I've made it this far. Well, friends, listen. We got winter coming now. People are getting concerned about the fuel bill. Poor people here in Denver are struggling to keep food on the table. You know, friends, I still think that America is the greatest nation in the whole world. And it's a giving nation. But we as Christians ought to be giving Christians too. There's no place in Christianity for selfish, tight-fisted people. Well, listen, I'll be with you for a half an hour. I wish you'd just kick off your slippers, sit back and relax, pour you a cup of coffee or a glass of iced tea. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? A reading to you from the 11th chapter of John, and with the 38th verse. Jesus, therefore, again being deeply moved within, came to the tomb. Now it was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, Remove the stone. Martha, the sister of the deceased, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be a stench, for he has been dead for 4 days. Jesus said to her, Did I not say to you, if you believe, you will see the glory of God? Well, you know, people, you all remember we celebrate Memorial Day and remember our men and women who died in the service fighting for our great country and land. And we remember our loved ones and who have died. And, you know, folks, many, many, oh, my stars, I don't know how many years ago, maybe... Oh, boy. I guess about 55 years ago, my brother-in-law, who was an alcoholic also, and my sister-in-law and my wife and our two, they had a girl and we had a boy. We decided to go to the upper 8-mile crossing to camp out over Memorial Day. And, of course, my brother-in-law and I, we had... our couple, 3 cases of beer in the back of our car, and we were ready to have a great time. And we lived in Portland, so we came up the Columbia River, and naturally we had to go through my hometown, the Dalles. Well, here's what happened. It just hit me. I've got to take flowers out to my parents' grave. I've not been out there since my dad died during World War II in 1942. Well... so I went out and I got a big bouquet of flowers and I took it out and I couldn't even find the grave. That thing has grown so much. So I went to the grave master and they showed me where my parents' grave was and my sister. So I went down there, drove down there, and I walked over to the graves and I knelt there and put the flowers on the grave. And all of a sudden, I know you won't believe this, but I just like I could hear my mother say, Cecil, look at you. Look at your life. Look what you're doing to your life. And, you know, I broke down and I cried and I sobbed. And my wife was sitting in the car and she couldn't understand what was going on. And I went back to the car and I never said a word and we went on. And of course, we partied and we drank and we thought we were... not my wife and sister-in-law, but my brother-in-law and I did. We thought we were having a ball. Oh, precious friends, listen to me. If you're a drinking person or you're an alcoholic, don't let no one kid you. You're not having a ball. You're not enjoying yourself. Do you realize that if you would die in that condition, there's a good possibility you'll end up in a devil's hell? You say, you mean to tell me, Cecil, that a Christian has never got drunk? I never said that. But there's a good possibility that you'll end up in a devil's hell. Well, but you know, I have to tell you something even good about that. Many years later, I was to go to the Dalles, and I was to preach a funeral for Mrs. Reed. I used to live with her and her son a little bit after my mama died. And I thought, you know, I want to go out to the cemetery again. So I went out there, and I was standing there smiling, you know. And this guy was walking by, and I said, "Sir, can I talk to you for a minute?" He said, "Yes." I said, "You know, years ago I used to be an alcoholic." And I said, I knelt here at this grave, and I wept till I couldn't weep anymore. But now I don't have to, because I know Jesus, and I know my mom, dad, my sisters in heaven. So I don't weep no more." And he said, "Oh, okay." And boy, he took off. I bet he thought I was crazier than a bedbug. Yes, we remember our loved ones on Memorial Day, and then we decorate the graves. And of course, the grave where my mom, dad, and sister is taken care of. That's a perpetual care, so we don't have to worry about mowing the lawn. Well, what did Jesus do at the grave? Well, according to the Bible, he wept and groaned within. Jesus wept. The shortest verse in the entire Bible. Oh, but what this verse tells us about Jesus. Jesus was the Son of God, but he was human in his respect for his love. Why do you think he came to this earth? To check us out and see how things were going. And he'd already planned that someday he was going to come back again after they crucified him. That was the intent of his visit on earth, was to be crucified for your sins and mine. Someone had to pay for the sin that our great-great-grandparents committed in the Garden of Eden. Jesus was that one that the Father chose to pay for our sins. It's a sin debt. And, beloved, don't you tell me you're not a sinner. You know, I told you, my dear wife, you to say, "I'm not a sinner." But the Bible tells us we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us have sinned. Don't you forget that. See, Jesus understood our grief. And I told you, when my mom died and I was 13, folks, I cried till I could not cry anymore. I loved her so much. You know, she died in 1939, so you know that's been a long, long time ago, and I still remember her. Oh, what a wonderful person. She was sick from the day, I guess, she was born. She had a congenital heart disease, and she was in and out of the hospital the last 5 years of her life. She was in oxygen tents. See, they didn't have oxygen like we have today. They had to go in tents in the hospital. Now, I remember at one time my dad was up all night long. He couldn't get her to hospital, and he was mouth-to-mouth resuscitation to keep her breathing, to keep her from dying. Yeah, Jesus knew all about our grief, and he understands tonight you may have grief. You may have lost a loved one or a friend or somebody, and you think about them. But, dear friends, listen. Let me tell you something for sure. If I sit here in my radio shack and I'm thinking about my loved ones and my friends, the first thing I think of, oh, where are they going to spend eternity? I've got a cousin in the Dalles, Oregon, that she's but one of my dear, dear cousins. And how many times I've sent her broadcast tapes, called her on the phone, stayed all night in their house and talked to them about Jesus. Her husband is an atheist personified. He has nothing to do with God. In fact, the matter is he'd rather make fun of God than he would rather do anything in the world. Well, See, Lazarus, the one that died, had been a very good friend of Jesus, and Jesus had come to resurrect him. But, you know, still he wept with those who grieved their loss. Now, he knew he was going to raise Jesus from the dead, and he told Martha, he said, you know, she said, I know that he's going to come back to life in the resurrection. And what did Jesus say? I am the resurrection. I am the truth and the life. So Jesus was telling her, don't worry about it. But let me tell you what happened. He understood Mary's broken heart, and he understood Martha's tears. And you know what? He understands the pain of separation. You know, dying is not such a bad deal, but the thing is, we don't want to leave our loved ones. That's mainly what the situation is. But I tell you right now, heaven's a far better place than what you and I are experiencing today. Yes, we. You say you want to experience joy? Go out and witness for Jesus. Go out and tell people about Jesus. Tell that he come and was 30 years on earth, and they took him to a kangaroo court and crucified him. And they said they took his life. They did not take his life. He gave his life. Just remember that. He knew full. Oh, friends, listen, out there in the Garden of Gethsemane, you think he didn't know what was coming up? Don't you think he knew about the horrible pain that he was about to take? And the crown of thorns and the spikes in his hands and his feet? Don't you think he did that? And you know what? These disciples went to sleep. So Jesus was all by himself. Oh, my dear friends, he wept tears of blood. But you know what he said? Something that is almost hard, it's very hard for a person to say, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And it was settled, and he decided he would go. He knew he was going to go to the cross, but this he made, he drove a stake, I'm going to go to the cross. Well, the promises, he promises everlasting life, he promises heaven, and he promises a resurrection. Precious friends, if that resurrection story wasn't in the Bible, our faith would be totally in vain. That's right. Had he not come from the grave, had he not conquered death and hell, you and I would be in the worst condition that a man can be in. Nevertheless, it's normal to grieve when loved ones die. Sure it is. Tears are God's safety valve for our emotional health. Now, Jesus understood this. He groaned, and then he wept. And all of Mary and Martha's friends were there because they loved Lazarus, and they loved Martha, and loved Mary. Well, Jesus entered into their pain. Friends, remember Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, when they threw them in the fiery furnace. Did you know that Jesus was in there? There was four people in that fiery furnace. Not three, but four. Because he said, lo, I'm with you, even unto the end of the world. Now, maybe tonight you're suffering some emotional problems, or maybe you're facing some financial problems or physical problems, whatever it might be. I want you to know that God understands, and he's going to try to help you. You know, when I was in my family was in a terrible car wreck back in the late 60s, I believe, or early 60s. It was a horrible wreck. My three sons and my two daughters were in the back seat of this Jeep station wagon. We went end over end, plunged down over a 14, 15-foot bank into a creek of water. When I came to, my legs was wrapped up in the steering wheel, and my head was in the water, and the door was open. And I looked, and I finally got myself straightened out, and I looked in the back seat, and two of my daughters was blood all over them. They were laying there half conscious. My three sons were out on the creek bank, and they were bleeding, and they were half unconscious, and I couldn't find my wife. I could not find my wife. Pretty soon I heard groaning, and I looked, and there she was, underneath the axle, rear axle of that Jeep, and it had a big tailgate, and it was over. And I tried everything I could to lift that Jeep up, but I couldn't. And three farmers were about, a quarter of a mile when they heard the wreck. They came running, and those three farmers lifted that Jeep off my wife, and I pulled her out from underneath the Jeep. Of course, she was buried in mud. And we got them all up on the bank, and someone run and called an ambulance. And I remember I was trying to comfort my wife and try to comfort my kids. And someone said, "What's that blood coming out of your leg?" And there was a roofing nail, an inch and three-quarter roofing nail stuck in the bone of my leg. And that guy reached down and pulled the pliers out of his pocket and pulled that out of my leg. Well, we went to the hospital in the ambulance, and they put my children in one ER room, and they put my wife in one. And I'm running back and forth trying to comfort them and pray with them, and I called my pastor and the church, and they came to pray. And I tell you, I will never forget that day as long as I live. But you know, it was so comforting to know that Jesus was there with us, and Jesus understood, and Jesus spared our lives. Well, Jesus entered our pain and ministers to us. Well, you know, I didn't stay in the hospital. They broke my wife's collarbone. That's about all it did to her. And about 2 weeks later, I couldn't move, and they rushed me to the hospital and put me in traction. And I want you to know, dear friends, I tell you, that was the most painful thing. Well, I was there a couple of weeks, and they let me out of the hospital. They said they was going to have to operate, but they let me out of the hospital. And I remember thinking, well, I'm not going to go back to the hospital. Well, finally, I did go back, and that doctor said, "We got to operate." I said, "No, you're not going to operate. I didn't get the go-ahead sign from the Lord." And I really mean that. I prayed and I prayed. I did not get the go-ahead to get that operation. Did you know I was a roofer? And I would work, and I'd be so much pain that I have to lay down on the roof and roll over and over and over to relieve the pain in my low back. And I'd cry. And then I'd pray for God to give me the grace to be able to withstand the pain. And he always did. Yes, he did. Oh, I thank the Lord for his grace. Friends, you don't know what you're missing if you're lost today. You don't know what you're missing. See, Jesus saw the pain of a blind man and gave him sight. And he saw the pain of the lame man and made him walk. He saw the pain of 10 lepers and restored their health. Jesus is here today entering into your grief. The cross proves his love, dying to pay for our sins, not his sins. Why? Because he was sinless, the sinless Son of God. Was Jesus tempted to sin? He most assuredly was. But he never yielded. And you know, when Satan come upon Jesus, you know what he'd do? He'd answer him by the word of God. Oh, friends, this word of God is powerful. Oh, yes, it is. Well, the cross proves his love and dying to pay for our sins and assuring paradise to a dying thief. Here, these two thieves were, boy, they were there on the cross too. And one guy said, "Boy, if you're the Son of God, you've saved others. Come down off that cross, save yourself." Why, Jesus could have called 10,000 legion of angels. He didn't do it because he came to die for your sins and mine. But the other thief said, "We're here because we deserve to be here." And then it struck him, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said, "From this day forth, thou shalt be with me in paradise." Friends, he never got baptized. He never got to join a church.
never took the Lord's Supper, but he went to heaven. Why? Because Jesus said he would. Bring your sorrows to the one who really, really cares. You see, Jesus offers hope to those who are hurting. The tender Savior is always triumph. He died and he rose again. I love that song, Up From the Grave He Arose. Oh, my stars in the morning. You know, when they buried him in that tomb and put that big stone above, we got that boy. He ain't gonna mess with us no more. Oh, yeah? That's what you think. The angel of the Lord moved that rock back. And when Martha and them, he was gone. He had arisen. Oh, precious friends, what a wonderful thought to know that he, not a dead Savior, he's standing at the right hand of the Father, interceding for you right now. So you got a problem. And you know what you need to do? You need to talk to Jesus about it. That's what I said. Come to Jesus and say, Lord, I need this. Wait a minute. Whoa. Let me get something straight. I am not a namer and a claimer. No. This prosperity religion is for the fat preachers and rich preachers, not for you and me. Well, and he was victorious over the grave. Jesus was up to the occasion. He says, take ye away the stone, verse 39. Remove the stone, Martha. The sister of the deceased said to him, Lord, by this time there'll be a stench, for he has been dead for 4 days. And then in verse 43, and when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he did. Lazarus came forth alive. Friends, in Ephesians 2, 8, 9, or Ephesians 2, I want you to read that when you get time, where it said we were also dead in trespasses and sin. You want a miracle? Then you come to Jesus with your sins. Repent, open your heart, receive him, and you will be brought alive. You will be made alive because he said you would be. And then he takes out that stinking old filthy heart of stone, gives you a beautiful heart of flesh, and then he writes your name in the Lamb Book of Life. And someday when this life is over, he'll take you to a mansion. Did you hear what I said? In my Father's house are many, many mansions. We got one. I didn't have one on this earth. Oh, I bet it's a nice place to live, but I never had a mansion. Well, what's so great about that mansion? Because Jesus will be there. My mom will be there. My dad will be there. My two sisters, my two brothers will be there. That's why I'm excited. Moes are going to have a reunion. But more than that, because Jesus will be there. Now, I'm not saying I'm scriptural on this, but I want to hug his neck. I do too. I want to hug his neck and say, thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you for reaching down in a gutter and saving this no-good drunk. And more than that, for calling me and letting me go out in the world and tell people about him and introduce thousands of people to Christ. That's what's exciting. Oh, my, is that exciting. I ask you tonight, would you bring your broken heart to him? You know, folks, on the darkest day, he makes a way. Well, have memories brought you down tonight? Won't you make this a memorable day and allow the Lord to minister to your grief? Trust the one who really, honestly, really cares. Cast your cares upon him, for he careth for you. You say, Cecil, you know, I don't even know the Lord. I've heard you preach several times, but I don't know the Lord. Do you want to know him? Do you have a little tugging at your heart? See, the Lord knows the desires of your heart. He knows whether you really want to be saved, and he won't force himself on you. No, he won't. He will not force himself on you. If you want to trust Jesus, and you feel a tug in your heart, and you're willing to turn your back on the old way of life, that means repent. He'll give you new life. If you feel that way, bow your head to me right now, and I'll lead you in that most powerful prayer ever known to man. Oh, dear Lord, I thank you for hearing my prayer tonight. Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner, and I know I deserve hell. But I want to know this Jesus that Cecil was talking about tonight. If he changed his life, I'm sure he can change mine. And so I'm opening my heart and asking to come in Jesus' name. Amen. Friend, if you did that, I'd love to talk to you. Oh, I won't use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. I won't sit down and write and ask you for any money. Don't care where you go to church. I'm only concerned where you spend eternity. My phone number is 303-471-8534. That's 303-471-8534. If you feel I can help you and you got some questions, if I don't know the answer, I'll get them for you, because everything you need to know is in this holy, unerring word. So I'm waiting for your call right now, 303-471-8534. You can see why I say they're the best quartet in the whole United States. Some of you, if you'd like to purchase one of those copies of their CD, you let me know. Well, friends, thank you so much for listening tonight, and I pray that we said something that encouraged your heart. Please pray for my wife and I and my quartet as we go to prisons and churches to share the gospel. Pray for our health, that God will give us enough health that we can keep on keeping on. So until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbor. Stay sweet. Keep looking up for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus. It's coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.